If you've got your Bible, we're going to turn to Luke 1, 28. And we see an angel appear before Mary. Very, very familiar story. Most of us would know it, but we don't generally do it at this time of the year. We generally do it at Christmas time, don't we? And we see this angel appear. So as you're getting there, and we say, he says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Could you imagine an angel turning up and saying that to you? What would you say? How would you respond? What would you be thinking? I can imagine Mary is just kind of like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? And while she's wondering about it, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary's response to this kind of overwhelming news is to ask, "How will this be?" Because she knows it is impossible. She's a virgin, she's unmarried, she's a good girl. Notice what she doesn't say. She doesn't say, "Who are you?" She doesn't say, "Don't be ridiculous." She simply wonders how this might happen. In her mind, it's impossible. She's not even married yet. She's betrothed, but there must have been, in the way the angel spoke, that it's going to happen before marriage comes. And so in that question, "How will this be?" the angel explains that the power of God will do it. The power of God will come upon you, and you will become pregnant. And then, to reinforce the point, he tells Mary that her elderly relative Elizabeth is also pregnant. Elizabeth is past the years of childbearing. It's impossible for her to have babies according to the natural. And so the angel sort of gives her this little other thing to go and check out. And Mary is just sitting there. The impossibility of the situation, the unprecedented encounter, it must have been overwhelming. Who is she? She's nobody. She's a poor girl from a town on the outskirts. She's not part of the important people. She's got no name in and of herself. And yet this angel is choosing her. Why? Who is she that the angel would honor her so highly? And who is she that she might be the center of such an important assignment? But what you also notice is that she doesn't get lost in thinking about all these things. That's me putting my questions in there. She doesn't lose time wondering about that. She simply says, "Here I stand, the servant of the Lord. May your word to me be fulfilled." And I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about that, but that's quite an amazing response for a somewhat young woman. But this is her moment of yes. This is her yes to God, her response to God. "Yes, let your word be true. Let your word to me be fulfilled." She actually wants what God wants. Are you in that place? Have you ever thought about that? When God comes and says something to you, is your response to say, "Yes, let it be fulfilled"? Mary confidently trusts that God is faithful to what has just been said. Before she's worked out all the details, before she's considered all the implications, Mary commits to God's call. And this is what we can all learn from. When God says go, commit. Say yes. Step up and just say, "Okay." Before you try to work it all out, before you try to figure out how it's going to happen, how many of you know that our God is the God of the impossible? Yes. We've just heard an incredible story of a ridiculously impossible situation where a foreigner in a country is going to be murdered, and people that are warriors and all that, and yet they were held back by a supernatural reality of these little old people back in a country, they have no idea what's really going on, just believing that God can protect and save, and look what God is doing. You know, is that the sort of God you serve? Is that the God that you know? You know, when I was younger, I'm going to go a bit off script here, but when I was younger, I remember just having a heart for God, wanting to do what he was doing, and I ended up at our rancho, and I used to play the piano, and I thought pianos are really hard to lug around, so I learned the guitar, and I was just quietly learning the guitar in the background, and my boss would lead the kids ministry songs, and I'd just play quietly in the background because I really didn't know how to play guitar. And then one day we had a song at our church, and he wanted me to teach it to all the leaders, so I led that song for our leaders, and he said to me, "Cool, you can do the rest of the camps." There were 3 weeks of camps, and I'm like, I don't know how to play guitar in front of people. So for the next 3 weeks, it was a fast learning curve. But during that time, I remember standing up there going, I'm so inadequate. There were chords there, and I didn't even know half of them. I was learning them on the go. And in one of those camps, this like about a 12-year-old girl came up to me after one of the sessions that I was leading, and she said to me, "Do you know there's this whopping great big angel behind you?" And I went, "I beg your pardon? I've never seen this angel." And it happened to me twice. And since then, as I've wandered around, God has done things and shifted things. And I go, you know, I dare to believe that there's an angel, a giant, or whatever. God is doing something that is revealing in situations. I've been in places where, I remember once I was, it wasn't a Christian event, but we had this community youth trust, and we had this dance on, and some skinheads wanted to come in, and they wanted to now I was the only guy, and all the rest were just mums that wanted to help out the kids in the community. And these 3 skinheads came up, and they were going, "We want to come in." And I'm going, "No, you're not." Now, I'm a wuss. I really am. I'm big, but I'm a wuss, you know. And I was sitting there, and these 3 guys say, "We want to come in." And I just went, "No, you're not going to." And they said, "We're going to." And I said, "No, you're not going to." And they said, "We are." And I said, "No, we were having an argument." And I'm a, you know me, I love to argue, eh? And suddenly they just melted away, and they went, "Oh, no, sorry." And they just walked away. And I always wonder, I don't know, but I always wonder, what did God reveal to them in that moment? Because I was certainly, my knees are knocking in that. But I've had so many stories like that in my life where God has just done some things that I'll never know the answer. And that's why I really appreciate that story, Jude, because that's the God we serve. This couple in this video, now you'll notice that they're called P&D. We live in a world where everything's online. We've got to be really careful about names and places because other forces in the world are trolling the internet to find out. And so all the advice we're getting is that we don't put, because even our services are live stream, we don't talk about people by name, or we don't talk about the places specifically that they're going to, okay? Because that can be dangerous for them, and so we've got to be wise. But this couple had said yes to God. If you watched in that video, they heard God's call, and they went somewhere in Asia. Before they had all worked it out, they said yes. They'd been over there for many, many years. And their yes started a process, and as they said in there, of many details, many steps that they had to journey. You know, so many people want to serve God, but they want the whole detailed plan all worked out before they'll say yes. They want to, you know, are you like that? You want to go, what's it going to be like? How's it going to go? We want to know the nice, easy way. And God's not after that. He wants you to say yes simply because he's spoken. He wants our yes. And he knows that. He wants us to trust him because guess what? He knows the details. He knows the way forward. He has the ability to work it all out. He uses our faith to trust him to do incredible things. I remember when God called Liz and I into ministry in this church. We were praying about it. I've got to be careful here because I could promote myself as being so full of faith. But God spoke to us. And we went, no. Initially, we both knew God had spoken, but we went, hang on, we've got a baby on the way, we've got this, we've got that, we cannot figure out how it was to work out. The role that was being offered was part-time, we couldn't survive that, and so we just quietly didn't do anything, we just sat back. A few months later, we were up in Auckland, and many of you might know the story, but Paul came to us, and he said, God's just spoken to me and said, you guys the youth pastors coming up, and we're like, wow. And so we told him what God had been saying to us. And I remember the next morning, before I'd even really, Liz and I had talked it out, before we'd figured out all of the details, before we could figure out how it would work, before we'd even really started in talks with the church, I said yes. I said yes in my heart. I remember we were at the motel where we were staying. We were due to drive back to Wellington. Liz was having a shower, and I was just sitting on the couch reading my Bible. Well, I wasn't really reading. I was just sort of flicking, kind of excited. And I remember that moment, and I said, yes, God, let it be. And 18, 19 years later, look what's happened. Many of you know the journey. Many of you know the story. Before I knew the details, before Liz let me say yes, I'd already said yes. We had many months of journeying personally and with the church, working the details out. Even then, it was still scary to step in. But actually, months and months earlier, I had already said yes to God. And this is what Mary has done in this moment. Notice that she didn't ask any more questions. She didn't lay a fleece. She didn't consult Joseph. She didn't talk with her parents. She doesn't seem to have asked the trusted advisors. Her yes simply reveals that she trusts God. And I think that those who end up doing things for God know exactly what I'm saying here. Because actually it almost doesn't matter. Now, I'm not saying we don't take advice. I'm not saying all of that. But when it comes to the heart issue, I said yes before Liz and I formally said yes to the church. I'd already said yes. At some point, Liz had already said yes. Before you guys ever knew what was going on, the yes had already happened. Because it happens at the core of who we are. God wants our hearts before he wants our action and our... Does that make sense? So learning to say yes is so important. Pondering the commitment, working out the details. Wow, that's half the adventure, isn't it? Those things we get to navigate on the way. But at the start of any call is a simple, quiet yes to God, trusting that he is able to do what seems impossible to us. But we know that if he has said it, it will come to pass. That is the confidence of those who serve the Lord. Don't wait until you've got it all figured out, because God isn't interested in that. He will equip. I've got a thing on the side of my filing cabinet by my desk that I printed out in the first year I was in ministry here, and it was Smith Wigglesworth, I think, and he said, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And I look at that almost every day. I'm sitting at my desk going, how am I going to face this? Because that's what God just wants, those who will trust him. Coming back to the story, it says that after this encounter with the angel, Mary got busy. She got up and she went to visit Elizabeth. And I think in that you can see she wants to see if what the angel said is true. This angel offered this clue. It was a chance to go, if you want to see if this is real, go and see Elizabeth. So she went, and it says that when she got there, she greeted Elizabeth, and the baby inside Elizabeth leapt for joy. This was a confirmation that what the angel said was true. This visit, it says that she was there for about 3 months. It must have been such an encouragement for Mary, because the journey ahead was tough. It was going to be a challenge, but the visit was an encouragement that helped confirm for Mary what was told to her, or that what was told to her was already happening. God was at work. And you know what I've learned, and Liz and I have learned, that whenever we get a bit down and we wonder and all that, something will happen. Somebody will say something. God sends people, certain things happen, and you're just like, you know, why do we worry? Well, we're human. We like to be in control. But God is at work. Even when we don't see it, he's doing what he says he would do. And I know after 18 years in ministry, God has never proven unfaithful. He has always been and provided and did what he said he was going to do for us, which is so exciting, because it means we can get on about and be about his business. What's really cool is if you're in your Bibles and you're reading through Luke, you get down to this song that praises God. Mary, when she's encountered Elizabeth, she launches into this song that we call the Magnificat. It's an amazing reality. And look what it says in verse 46. My soul rejoices and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. What were we singing this morning, Katie? Our soul. Let our soul cry out. This is what Mary is doing. My soul rejoices. My spirit rejoices. Every part of me rejoices. Why? Because God is awesome. And if you go down through this song, she first says, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. That's Mary, me, she's saying. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Isn't that interesting? She, in her worship, she recognized what God is doing for her. She knows she is nothing. She knows she's a nobody. And yet God saw her and chose her and dared to call her. And she knows he will use her because she said yes for his purposes and for the glory of his name. And she goes on and says she will be famous. She's not being arrogant here. She's just proclaiming something that is true because of what God is doing. How many of you have heard about Mary? It's like 2,000 years ago. She is probably one of the most famous characters in the Bible. And in the rest of the song, the rest of the Magnificat, she just steps back and starts praising God, and she tells of his wonderful deeds, how he humbles the powerful, but he lifts up the humble, how he fills the hungry with good things, but he sends the rich away empty. She simply steps back and glories in what God has done for her people for all time, and just she's just in awe. She starts at what he's done for her personally, and then steps back and recognizes what he is doing and has always been doing. God is at work, always has been, always will be. And I think we can learn so much from her, from the situation that God called me. God is calling you. And it's not about you and it's not about me. It's actually about him. But he recognizes us in our humble, kind of almost nothing existence. We're here for a moment and gone, but God uses us. Isn't that encouraging? You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be an expert. God will use anyone who says yes when he calls. See, when we say yes to God, we are saying, your will be done. We're committing ourselves to what God wants us to do. We understand that that's our part in the bigger picture of what God is always doing. Mary said yes, when Mary said yes, she said, may your word to me be fulfilled. I would have just said yes, but she's a bit more eloquent. But that's what she's saying. What you just said, I want that to happen. I love the song that we sing at Christmas. How many of you love it? Mary, did you know? It asks this question. Did you know that your baby boy would one day experience all the things we read about in the Gospels? And the reality is, in that moment, no would be the answer. Mary didn't have a clue of what the journey would look like. She didn't know what was actually going to happen. In the moment, she wouldn't have a clue of the things she would have to face. She didn't know that she would have to go to Bethlehem for the census while fully pregnant. She couldn't have known that Joseph would have to run his family to Egypt to flee the massacre of all the baby boys that the Herod had declared. She wouldn't have thought about the fact that they had to make their home in Nazareth, not where she grew up, but in another place when she eventually came back. She wouldn't have known that her son would perform miracles, heal people, and raise the dead. And I can almost guarantee she probably wouldn't have known that one day she would have to observe her son nailed to a cross, crucified by the Romans that oppressed her people. And I'm also not sure, maybe she had an inkling, but I don't know that she would have ever anticipated that she would see him rise from the grave in glorious power and ascend to heaven. She didn't know all of that, but she said yes. Unheard of anyone. Nobody heard that yes except God, because it was a yes to him. She did not know where her yes would take her, but she knew who was asking, and she knew she could trust the one who was doing the asking. And if we jump ahead to John 19, we see Jesus being crucified. He's nailed to the cross. And in verse 25 of John 19, it says, near the cross stood his mother. I wonder what she must have been thinking and feeling, seeing her son violently abused nailed to a cross, going to die, and yet in her heart she knew the call that she said yes to. And if we read through the story, she treasured up things over the journey, things that were spoken, things that were said, things that she'd heard. She treasured them in her heart. And it would have just revealed God's plan, understanding that. And I think the tension that she must have felt between her mother's desire to protect her child. Mums, could you imagine your child nailed to a cross? Unimaginable. She must have had that tension between that and the disciples' desire to just simply trust the Father that this is all part of the plan. It must have been an agony, wouldn't it have been? I know God's at work, but what the... Because this is very human reality. And people like this couple that are overseas, I guarantee there are moments where it's, what on earth is going on? Gary and Jude, when you were overseas, there were moments, weren't there? What am I doing here? God, what are you doing? But what keeps you? It's the yes that you said, isn't it? It's the yes, you know God is called. You know he's working things out. You know it's the reason I still stay in my role is because I know God called and I know he's bigger than the problems and the challenges and the questions. And what I've learned is that as I've stayed, God has shown his power and moved and answered my questions and done what I needed him to do. And it's been exciting because not just in the church, but in my life and in other things that are around me, God is awesome. And when we get in this, John 19, it said that Jesus, while hanging on the cross, he looks down and he sees his mum. He sees his mum sitting there and the disciple that he loved, and he says, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And he directs them. We just think, oh, mum needs someone to look after her in her old age. Yeah, maybe. But maybe there's also mum. Here's someone that needs a mum. Here's John who needs a mum. Here's a team of people who needs a mum. I think he's directing them into a new community. A community that is above blood connection. It's the start of the church. It's people called into family based on the truth that Jesus is Lord. We don't read any of the details about that, but I often wonder what Mary's influence was in that community of people. See, when she said, "I am the Lord's servant," it shows what the foundation of obedience is. Having the baby was not for her, in the sense. It was for God. It was God's purpose. She just wanted to serve. By declaring and holding on to that reality, Mary says, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And as she says yes, as she steps into that, there is a flow-on effect that influences others around you. And often when you say yes, you give the opportunity for other people to say yes to God. We know that Joseph and Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, countless people through the years of Jesus as he was growing and growing up would have been influenced by Mary. And at this point where Jesus is saying, "Mary and John, look after each other, come together," I wonder what influence Mary played beyond the role of mum. What did she play in the community of disciples as they navigated their new reality? As they're sitting in the upper room waiting, wondering what was going on, was she the mum that they could talk with? Knowing all that she had experienced, all that she had journeyed, these are the questions I ask. Did she ever tell the disciples her encounter with the angel and why she was Jesus' mum? Did they know that? Wouldn't surprise me. But what I do know is that all generations call her blessed, and I reckon it would have started with them. What does our yes to God do? Is it simply about us having an exciting adventure? That's what it feels like sometimes. It's just about me. But no, it's not just about me. It's not just about you. It is about what God is doing, not just in me, but also in those around me. See, when you say yes to God, you may never know how many people are influenced and encouraged to say yes to God because you said yes. I guarantee there's lots of stories here of people we've been able to talk to
or to point people to Jesus, or to encourage others to seek him. That comes because you've said yes. You've stepped in. See, often we think it is about getting to the destination. We think that for Mary it was just about having Jesus, and that was, she was just a body that God used. No, no, no. She was a person. And there would have been so much more that we don't know, that's not written, that had been going on in the lives of her and her family and the people of her community. And God uses each step of the way for his purposes, each step of the journey for his glory, because he is growing us and building our lives all of the time. You know, in that video, we see the couple's testimony saying, so much of the journey is just little steps. Lots and lots and lots of little steps. Saying yes to God one step at a time. What did he say? I can't believe how many bricks it took to build the wall, you know, when they stepped out and what God had called them to do. And he also said this thing. He said, we have to have the courage to take each step as it comes. You know, so often we get focused on the big thing. We like the Billy Grahams, you know, those big name people. But there's so many little steps behind that journey that you'll never know about. There's so many decisions and things that that person had to step into. You know, if this couple that were on the video came to talk to us, we would be wowed by what they're doing. We'd be wowed by the big things, the big decision. Oh, you went overseas. Wow, that's really cool. But what we probably would miss is the little yeses. The private yeses, those moments of yes, I'm terrified, but I'll go anyway. I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I'll go anyway. Father, are you even real? But I'm going to serve you anyway. All those little things, we don't tend to share those, but there were many of those that got them to where they are in the now. Every one of us have got lots of little things that we tend to forget. In fact, doing this message has reminded me so much of the yeses Liz and I, and especially myself, have had to say along the way, and I still have to say yes every day, because God is at work doing something. He hasn't said, would you go and do, and then left me to it. No, I'm the one that leaves him, but I have to keep coming back and just saying, God, may your word be fulfilled in me. And often when we look at someone that goes, when we look at a missionary, we miss the support around of those around that person. I really appreciated your story, Jude, where, you know, you included the church. Because when someone goes to the mission field, it's not just them. They go on behalf of a church. They go on behalf of the people that are sending them. As a church, you know, we gather around a whole church community of support with prayer, finances, encouragement. God uses us much more than we realize. Being a supporter of someone who is in the overseas mission is just as important as the person who goes. They couldn't do it without the church's support of practical things like finance and stuff, but prayer, what an awesome story. Does that encourage you to pray for people? Does that encourage you to pray for people? You know, we've got, I sort of indicated, but the prayer ministry, we know someone in India who they're facing death. They're facing death threats, and we're hearing the same stories that what's coming back, isn't it? As you've been praying, the threats haven't eventualized, the people haven't come. We're still thriving today because prayer. And so never discount what prayer can do. Don't think, oh, God hasn't called me to be a missionary. If he's called you to pray, what do you say? Yes. Get up and pray. Can I just share a quick story? Got nothing to do with a missionary. My friend that I grew up with, not a Christian, went overseas, was doing his OE. And one, this is the only time, you ask Liz, what wakes me up at night? Absolutely nothing. Even prodding and all that sort of stuff. I sleep through, you know, if there's been an earthquake, I haven't got a clue and all that. One night, God woke me up and I had to pray for my friend who was overseas. I hadn't talked to him for probably a year or so. No idea what was going on. Such a burden to pray. It's never happened before, never happened since. But I just had to pray. And so I prayed for, I don't know, an hour or two. And then I stopped and I went, okay, went back to sleep. It was 6 weeks later, I bumped into his mum. She lives up in Taranaki, where I grew up. I was up there visiting mama, my parents, I think, and I bumped into her, and she said, oh, my friend had been in a car accident. He'd on the Autobahn in Europe. The van he was in had flipped on its side, scooted down the road, caught fire, and he was trapped hanging in the seatbelt. Now, many of you know when seatbelts are in tension, you can't get them undone, and the van was on fire. He was being burnt. And I prayed. Now, I don't know how many other people have prayed, but I'm going to say I know no one, so it must have been only me. He got away with just a couple of burns on his shoulders. He got out and all that. And I go, you know, wow, the power of prayer is incredible. I can't justify it. I can't always explain it. I just know that when I go to sleep, I go to sleep. But God woke me up, and prayer makes a difference. And that story you were talking there, you know, and I'm sure there's probably lots of stories like that that we could all share. Prayer makes a difference. It all starts with a yes to God. It all starts with a yes. It all starts with a yes that He is Lord and Savior, that He is the King of my life. You know, we look at Mary who said, I am your servant. She's already made that decision. Is God King? Is God Lord? She'd already said yes to that. Missionaries that go overseas, they've already said, yes, I'm your servant. I'm your person. For me and Liz, coming into the church, that wasn't our first yes to God. We'd said yes decades earlier to God, and we've been saying yes to Him all our lives. Can you say that? Because that's where it starts. If you haven't said yes to God, you need to make the decision to give your life to Him. And if you haven't done that, I'd love to talk with you. If you're exploring that, if you're wondering, love to have a conversation. I'd encourage you to say yes to God first. Don't worry about what He's going to do with your life. I guarantee it'll be really, really tough, but really, really good. Not tough as in just a hard life. Tough as in that you're going to have to grow. You're going to have to push past things you never thought possible. But He will grow you. He will build you. He will do amazing things in you while fulfilling His purposes around you. So if you haven't made Jesus King and Lord, say yes to Him in that. But for those that have said yes, what is God calling you to do today? What is God calling you to do now? What is your yes saying yes to? It can be easy to think that God only wants the experts, the brilliant ones, the people with no questions or doubts. You might look at me and go, oh, but you're just whatever. And I'm like, no. If I'm really honest, and I am with a few of you, you realize I'm not here because of my brilliance. I'm here because God spoke, God moved, and you guys agreed to call me. But God is doing something in those that say yes. And if you read the Bible, it consistently shows that God uses the humble, the lonely, and often the very unimpressive people who are simply willing to say yes. What is God calling you to do? It may not be to go overseas, but it might be. It may not be to step into some big role, but it might be. It may be that He's simply asking, will you support someone? Will you pray for someone? Will you give money, time? Will you share the word of what others are doing? Will you get involved in promoting their cause? In fact, I think that's where God starts with most of us. Often the people that go overseas have already been doing things way, way back, committing to those little yeses, stepping out of their comfort zones. And when we learn, that's where we learn to say yes, in the little things, regularly, consistently. And when we find ourselves learning to say yes in the little things, you often find yourself saying yes in the big things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. That you are a God who doesn't need our expertise. You don't need perfect people. You're using and calling people who are just willing to be yours. Father, I pray for us as a church, we would become a people who say yes to you. Yes, to get involved with what you're doing. That we would dare to believe what you're speaking to us, saying to us. Father, and may we not just wait around for the big call, the big angel, the big whatever, but may we just say yes when an opportunity comes to step out for your purposes. May we say yes so that you are honored and glorified in us. and through us and around us. And we want to see your world, the people of this world come to know who you are, the freedom that we've been singing about and talking about. In Jesus' name. Amen. One quick thing before the music team start, because Jude forgot. She's new in the role. We'll give her some grace, eh?